Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com.
If your food media diet is fueled by HRN, become a monthly donor today. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Hello, this is Diane Stemple on Cutting the Curd, and I am delighted to introduce today's guest, the one and only Deborah Dickerson, who is the Director of Education and Customer Outreach for Cowgirl Creamery. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you, Diane. It is a great pleasure to be here.
Oh, good. Oh, good. So, you were just honored at this year's American Cheese Society's meeting with getting the Lifetime Achievement Award.
I was, and I am very, very honored to receive such a prestigious award from my peers. Amazing, amazing.
Oh, good.
It was great fun to celebrate, even though it was virtual, with many friends and associates that I have had the great pleasure of working with over the years. I am very fond of the American Cheese Society as an organization, though we have much work to do, but it is a gathering of many like-minded people who work to promote the beautiful cheeses that are made here in the U.S.
Okay, now, congratulations. This is their very biggest award.
Well, I think the best of show, actually, for the cheese is their biggest award. I guess it all depends on who you talk to, or perhaps it's passing the CCP exam for certified cheese professionals is the greatest accolade. But nonetheless, there are many within the organization.
Now, many people, according to the person who nominated you for the award, said to him, "Doesn't she have it already?" That was what they said.
I think that means, well, that maybe I was memorable, and I hope that I was memorable in a good way to those people. I'm not sure. Steve Jones has been a good friend, a great cheesemonger, and someone I respect greatly in the industry. So it's a compliment. I take it as a very big compliment coming from him and others.
Okay, good. Now, back in 1982, I believe, you strolled up to the case at Zingerman's. And Ari changed your life right then and there.
He did.
Was he your first cheese teacher?
Actually, I went into Zingerman's to buy olive oil for a restaurant that I was working at. And my employer said, "Check out this place in Ann Arbor. I hear they've got some good olive oils." And at that point in time, I think Cola Vita was the hot olive oil on the counter at that point in time. And so I walked into the deli and I was fortunate enough to have Ari wait on me. And it was about olive oil. Right? And suddenly there were 12 souffle cups, little tiny souffle cups of olive oil in front of me to sip. And they were all different colors. And they each had their own unique smell. It blew my mind. My whole world sort of went careening out of control as he talked about not only, not just about the flavors and the smells, but the olives that they came from and where they were grown. And he knew the families who'd harvested and planted. And oh my God, it truly changed my life. And about 2 weeks later, I quit my job and applied for the retail manager at Zingerman's Deli, not really having a clue what that meant. And it was the beginning of a glorious 10-year love affair with food, and changed my life, truly changed my life.
Yes. Now, you are also accused of setting the pace for the rest of us.
Oh, dear God.
So where have you worked?
From Zingerman's. I think, you know, everything emanates from Zingerman's, right? There was a fellow there, David Lockwood, who went, left Neal Shard Dairy left Zingerman's and ended up at Neal Shard Dairy. And then he left Neal Shard and I applied for a job and was fortunate enough to be hired, though I waited for months to hear whether or not they'd take me on board. Oh, thank goodness they did. They hired me to be their U.S. Representative, and that was 1995. 96.
So that was your second job.
That was the second job. And then
Zingerman's was the first.
Zingerman's was, well, it was the first with cheese. Yes. And then it was Zingerman's, and then Neal Shard Dairy. And then, this part, you know, it was, I think, 2001 when I was working with Neal Shard Dairy. I would always carry big hunks of cheese around in my car and go storming into retail shops to introduce them and do classes and chase their customers up and down the aisles and try to promote sales. But I always traveled with American cheese as well, because why not? We're in America. And I had the pleasure of encountering small producers all over the country. So I'd tuck their cheese in my pocket and I would also bring their cheese in with me. And Jennifer Bice, bless her heart, from Redwood Hill, a lovely goat cheese maker at that point in time, she and yogurt and good goat dairy products said, "Deborah, why don't you represent my cheese too?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I have a full-time job. I couldn't possibly." And she said, "Sure you could." And so I thought about it and gathered around me my dear friend, Diana, who had been helping me with some Neal Shard Dairy work. And we formed 3D Cheese. Daphne Zeppos was involved in the formulation at that point in time. And we became a sales vehicle for a group of incredible cheeses. Jasper Hill, Neal Shard Dairy still, Redwood Hill Farm, Avonlea Cheese, and eventually Cowgirl Creamery was also a client of ours. And you came on board to help us sell, along with Kristen Sandy and Roger Olson. Oh, how fondly I remember you all. Do you remember the time, Diane, that you organized from, I think it was the American Cheese Society Conference in Burlington, excursion to Jasper Hill Farm, and we loaded people from the conference into vans and went tearing down the road from Burlington to Greensboro, and we had a lovely day. And I remember you packed bags for everybody with goodies and beverages and treats and good times to be remembered. So I thank you for your contribution.
Yes, I accept my thanks.
One of your many contributions, I will add. They were very good times. But, and then after that, representing small cheesemakers, it was financially difficult, to impossible to provide the people who worked at 3D Cheese with proper health insurance and the wages you all deserved. Mm-hmm. And so I had the good fortune of being courted by Peg Smith of Cowgirl Creamery. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to work at Cowgirl. And mm-hmm. 3D Cheese was retired. Mm-hmm. And that is
sad. It was a sad day.
I cried a lot. I cried a lot when I called. I remember talking to Jason Hines of Neil Shardieri on the phone, telling him what was about to happen. And, oh, my God, I cried. Uh-huh. But, you know, I think that there's something to be said. I think that there's wisdom in knowing when you've done your work.
Yes.
And it's time to go.
Yeah.
I do not apply that to my current situation. I just would like Cowgirl Creamery and Tamales Bay Foods to know that. But I think that there's wisdom in knowing when you've done your best and it's time to move on. The industry was changing, and
there was a bad occurrence. 2009 was when you ended.
Yes.
So it was everything fell apart.
Yes, there was a recession. You're absolutely correct. But I'm also very happy to say that from 3D Cheese, all of you folks still stayed in cheese. So, you know, the work was, it was, if you will, the work was just more spread out. More people got the benefit of your skills.
Well, maybe. Okay. So you deserve this award more than anyone. Plus, the amount of work you do receiving the cheese and organizing the cheese for the now massive Best in Show at ACS.
Well, you know, I have to say, it's one of those situations where when the cheesemakers enter their cheese, right? It started out back when Ari was president in the early 90s. He said there was something like, you know, 25 or 30 cheeses entered. I can't remember. It was a tiny number. And the last time that I worked on the Festival of Cheese, there were 1,182 cheeses entered. And the work of properly receiving those cheeses and making sure they stay in temp and making sure that they're not damaged and that they're properly categorized. And I have to say, I ran around with a megaphone. Rarely did I have to do the organizational work. I attribute that to Michelle Harum and John Antonelli. There were just so many amazing people and volunteers who helped out. I remember one year we needed people, and there was a lovely woman whose name is Babs, and she's still a member of the society. I believe she's an author. And she would hang outside the conference sessions. And when people came out of the sessions, she would say, "Hey, can you give us a hand for an hour?" And she'd haul them down to the room where we were setting up the Festival of Cheese. Oh, my God. But we would have 50 to 75 volunteers who worked for 8 to 10 to 12 hours for absolutely free.
Right.
Set up this magnificent display of these over 1,000 cheeses.
Right.
And to do it in a way that honored the cheesemaker, because for some of them who were small, this was their marketing budget for the year. This was the opportunity for people to discover them. And one of the things that Michelle and I did, that we didn't do it, but we decided that at one point in time, there would be no cubes. Cubes were not allowed at the Festival of Cheese, because we felt like it was a disservice to the maker to chop up all these cubes. And so no cubes, that was the rule. And we did that for several years. And the Festival of Cheese is no more. That has also been retired.
Now wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because, and I think it actually makes sense. The judging will take place before the before the conference, and it will cut down on the waste, you know, because mm-hmm. there was always so much cheese left over after the Festival of Cheese that mm-hmm. as much as possible it would be donated. But I think this really will cut down upon all of that cheese being shipped, and, you know, we need to think differently. This is an opportunity to save, you know, on transportation and the the boxing and the packaging and, oh my goodness, the work and the waste. And anyway, it's time. It's a time
oh,
of change.
No. Yep. Oh no, I'm totally change. Disappointed. Now, when was the last Festival of Cheese?
2019, because there was no conference last year because of COVID.
Right, right. And there was a conference this year, but you couldn't have a festival.
Right, because the conference was virtual, although they did send out boxes of cheese for certain sessions, and there was the Meet the Cheesemaker. It wasn't the same, but, you know, we're all adapting. We're all we're all working differently. You know, it's, and while it's sad that there's no Festival of Cheese, I do think that that will present different opportunities that perhaps haven't even been thought of yet. So
right.
Stay tuned. Think positive.
Okay. Now, so we're taking a break. We're taking a short break, and we'll be back with Deborah Dickerson.
Hey, this is Hannah, HRN's program manager. You may have noticed that we have a whole new look. We also launched a new website that's going to make your listening easier and more enjoyable than ever before. HRN is the original food podcast network. And as we enter a new chapter in our 12-year history, I want to ask you to invest in HRN for the long haul. If you rely on this show to fuel your food media diet, become a monthly sustaining member today. Our members keep the voice of America's food movement alive and kicking. Your donations support this podcast along with 40 other shows on Heritage Radio Network. Your contribution helps give HRN the security we need to stay on the airwaves throughout the pandemic. And your continued support is allowing us to reopen our studio. Plus, we like to give our regular members special treatment. So sign up to become a monthly donor and get access to our secret menu. We've gathered together exclusive discounts and offers from some of your favorite food and beverage brands. So you get to enjoy insider pricing on goods that will ship right to your door. Join our community of monthly donors, and special deals will come your way throughout the summer. So, can you make a gift of $5 or $10 a month? It'll show me and our whole team at HRN how much this podcast and food radio in general means to you. Become a monthly sustaining member today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Conte Cheese Association. Conte Cheese Association represents the Conte PDO, Conte Protected Designation of Origin in the USA. Conte is a raw milk cooked pressed cheese from the Jura Mountains of France. There, every day, 2,500 family farms deliver milk to over 150 local cheesemaking facilities, or fruitiers. This milk must be transformed into Conte within 24 hours of milking to preserve the lactic microflora in the milk, ensuring the cheese's aromatic potential. About 105 gallons of milk are required to craft a single wheel of Conte. Conte takes time to acquire its flavors in the affinage cellars. After 8 months of aging by dedicated affineurs on average, each wheel of Conte is graded and shipped to market. No wheel of Conte is the same. Its flavors speak to the pastures where the cows grazed, the season in which it was made, the particular craftsmanship of the cheesemaker, and the time spent in the aging cellar. Therefore, every wheel of Conte is unique. Learn more about Conte, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at conte-usa.com. That's conte-usa.com.
So you mentioned, while we were discussing the conference, you mentioned to me the BIPOC.
Yes, there were, the conference was amazing. It reminds me of the feeling that I had when I walked into Zingerman's all those years ago The first session that I attended was one called the Homogenization of the Dairy Industry. And there were three women that were unbelievable.
And these women were Ajala
Abdullah,
Whitney Roberts, and yep. Jessica Fernandez.
Yep.
Fernandez.
And there was another woman who was supposed to be there, but something joyful happened in her life. I don't know what it was, and she couldn't make it. But these were women. These were women of color who told their stories.
And they're all organized with each other.
I believe that they're all part of
Youth Culture Coalition.
Yes. And they're teaching, they're sharing information, they're trying to work with people in their own communities to involve them in the industry. But this panel was about their challenges and some of the difficulties that they experienced and some of the stories in their family's past. And it was shocking. I mean, it was just shocking, and it made me, I was so appreciative that they were courageous enough. That's not quite the right word. I was grateful that they shared their stories, because it made me realize that when I surround myself with people like me, I do a great disservice mm-hmm. to myself and to other people, because I can't learn and I also can't share. Mm-hmm. And the stories that these women told exposed me to situations that I had never even thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
People
Can you remember any stories?
Well, Whitney Roberts told a story about going back to her family's land and doing research on the history of her family. And she learned that they were enslaved on this property in Virginia, I believe it was. And long story short, I won't do it justice, and for that, I sincerely apologize. But when they were freed, they got the land, but then through, it sounded like unfair, unequal practices, this land went back, they lost the title to the land, and they couldn't get a hold of resources that they were due to keep it. And I mean, it was just shocking. And she introduced a phrase called land hunger.
Uh-huh.
Which to me represents, it's like, well, why don't we have people of color in BIPOC representation in cheese making? Because people don't have land, or they don't have resources, they don't have
right.
exposure. Anyway, it just that's one small story. There were many of them, and there was a conversation that happened with Ajala Abdullah, which. She just sort of shook me, and she basically said to me, right, as I was sitting in my living room at home in California, you have to do better, you know, and don't ask me what you should do. Go figure it out. It was just, it was life changing. So I'm grateful, and I'm trying to figure out what my next step is.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you. We all need to figure that out, but I think that's right. what that's sort of what the pandemic has done. It's turned everything, all of the assumptions and the comfort levels on its ear, and it's a good time to think about how we can do better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, tell me about some other guys. Patrick Rance, Matt Bonham, Alan Sorney, and Jessica Little.
So, Matt Benham, I believe his name is, won the DCTA Award, Teaching Award, in 2020. And the DCTA Teaching Award is named after Daphne Zepos, and it's a $5,500 stipend that you apply for by writing a vision of what you want to research and teach. And Matt won in 2020, and he talked about how the dairy industry can be an instrument for positive change, not only in the food system, but also in the environment, in mending the environment. And it was quite powerful to have this session after Ajella and the other two women's session on homogenization. Mm-hmm. And basically what he did was he started with a quote from Patrick Rance. And let me just see if I might have it here. And he said, basically, it was about bringing agricultural methods back to what they were hundreds of years ago, which was respecting the land, not destroying as you raise your cows and you make your milk and you make your cheese. It's about balance. Balance and forethought. It was really very powerful. I strongly suggest that everyone take a look, go to DZTA, their website, and you can read parts of his presentation. And you also can get the recording of the sessions, both the two that I've spoken about, at the ACS, from the ACS website, if you're a member.
Now,
it was good. I mean, you know, we have to do something. There's, you know, I don't know how things are in New York, right? But in California, we're running out of water. And I don't mean just that we can't keep it on when we brush our teeth. I mean, they're working in the county next to mine on trying to figure out how to do desalinization, because the wells and the lakes that have supplied the communities are dry. I mean, it's bad.
Right. Yeah. And what about...
I'm not very much fun. Sorry.
Oh, well, you're fun enough. What about the promoting of putting cows on acres?
This was really interesting. So this is the Savory Institute. And this is a completely different, it seems to me to be a very different concept than Matt was proposing. Another website that should be investigated. The Savory Institute promotes the regeneration of land and capturing carbon by doing exactly the opposite, by taking animals and putting them, lots of them, on smaller space. And the activity that they generate from munching on grass, digesting, and all of the other parts of digestion included therein, and then trampling this into the ground causes good things to happen in the earth, capturing carbon, regenerative agriculture, all of that. And that by moving these animals from one place to another is actually has positive effects. So he's set up hubs around the world. I think he has a goal of 5,000 hubs where people are doing this and transforming grasslands.
And this is Sarny?
This is Savory.
Oh, okay.
It's and called the Savory Institute.
And what is Jessica Little?
Jessica Little is Sweetgrass Dairy here in the U.S., and she's on the East Coast, and she's in the South. And Jessica, I'm so sorry that I think it's North Carolina. My apologies. Beautiful, beautiful cheeses. One of them a little washed rind, one of them a bloomy rind cheese, Sweetgrass Dairy. But she apparently also is very, very knowledgeable, and she and her husband employ a similar method of, it's like the New Zealand method of farming, where you move your animals from one pasture to another, but it's dictated by what plot of land is ready for the cows, and it's done very thoughtfully, as opposed to just, you know, sort of moving them from one step after the other. It's about the land telling you where it needs to go. I haven't spoken to her about this, but I look forward to that conversation. She's a great cheesemaker, she and her team. Mm-hmm. Sweetgrass Dairy.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Dominique Coote.
Dominique Coote. Oh, my gosh. So can I tell you a really quick story?
Yes.
Okay. So Dom is from Neil Jardieri in England. And he, when I was representing Neil Jardieri, when I had the great pleasure of representing Neil Jardieri, Dominic was my traveling companion most of the time. So he would fly over and we would do different parts of the country. We would go on sales trips. And I, you know, I'd pick him up at the airport and he'd have cheese and I'd have cheese and we'd put it in the back of the car and we would drive, you know, we'd either do the Midwest or we would do Florida or we would do, you know, we would do California, but we divided the country and we divided and conquered and we educated everybody that we could get to listen to us behind a retail counter about Neil Jardieri and Kirkham's Lancashire and Westcombe Cheddar and Colston Bassett Stilton.
But you didn't get along.
Well, that's strong language. We just, you know, we were like two old married people, right? We spent a lot of time in the car together. And so to keep it lively and to, you know, keep it interesting, we decided that every location would have a theme. And so, for example, when we went to the Midwest, it was all about sausages. We ate sausages and hot dogs, and we would talk to people and stop people on the street and say, "Where's the best sausage in Chicago?" And they would tell us, and we would go, and we would eat sausages, and we met the most amazing people. And when we were in New York, it was about bridges. And Dom did research on how they were built and why they were built and when they were built and what, you know, what the economy boomed around it. And then, this is the last one, I promise, is that we were in the Southwest and we were there over the 4th of July. And so we did the U.S. Constitution.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had this discussion in the car about the U.S. Constitution. And there's two things that were fascinating to me about that. One was then in having a discussion with a Brit about the founding of the United States was very interesting because his perspective was a little bit different. And the other thing, it just made me realize that the Constitution we can do better. I guess I'm going to leave it at that. We can do better. So thinking back, which is what this award did for me, it gave me the opportunity of thinking about my life in cheese and my family that has evolved, that you are a part of, thank you very much, from all the people that I have had the great pleasure of working with and beside and standing behind counters and people giving me their customers to be able to offer them cheese and tell stories to. It's just, it's been the best I could ever imagine. I'm so fortunate to be surrounded by such inspirational people, and I want everyone to have that opportunity. And that's what I think the American Cheese Society, I hope, will promote, is more inclusivity, more opportunity, and a place where everyone can experience some of the joy that I have had the honor of living.
Oh, Deborah.
I am very lucky. I am very grateful. And I will work hard to share. I promise.
That is so nice.
It's important. It's important. Yeah. It's really, there's an opportunity to change. And I am committed to do so.
I will. Now I have one more question.
Ready.
Rory Stamp.
Ha! What a guy. Rory Stamp is a co-worker. He's in the marketing. He's the director of social media for Cowgirl Creamery. He's an excellent writer and a knowledgeable cheese person. And he's written quite a good book called Illustrations of Cheese. Oh, Rory, I'm so sorry. I'm getting that wrong. Diane, one moment. It is called Cheese Illustrated, and it's published by Chronicle, And it's illustrated by a woman named Holly Exley. And it's a beautiful book, and it lists 50 cheeses, and there's cheese boards, and it's very educational. Anyway, I'm very fortunate. He's a coworker, and I'm a fan.
Oh, good. Now, I do books on this show, so maybe I'll have him on the show.
I hope you will. He's really quite, he's very versatile, quite talented, many skills, and an excellent, excellent writer. You'll like him.
Excellent. Excellent. So, so we're done with our talk. And I want to thank Deborah. And I want to thank you, Deborah, for being so special.
Well, thank you. I am fortunate to have been touched by many. So, in a manner of speaking in these virtual times, I might add.
Right.
Thank you, Diane. It's been a great pleasure. And thank you for the work that you do and for cutting the curd, for sharing so much great information about our industry.
Thank you. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.